So this today marks the last message in our series on the Holy Spirit. And even though this is the last message on the Holy Spirit, I trust, like for me, it will be for you, kind of a new beginning with the Spirit, where we can stand up and confidently say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And this is the way the Holy Spirit, God has worked in my life through the Spirit. I've been baptized in the Spirit. I've been sealed by the Spirit. I have been adopted by the Father, that the Spirit is in my heart crying out, Abba, Father, that some of these passages, that I have been empowered by the Spirit for ministry on behalf of God toward others, that there has been gifting, there's been activity of the Spirit, and that even now, even after today that we might talk about, I'm responsive to the Spirit, that I want to understand where the Spirit is leading me and guiding me. And so I hope that this has been a rich time, as it for you, as it has been for me. It's been really challenging for me, to be quite honest. The tradition that I've come from has not been super aware of the Spirit. I kind of grew up in my faith in a real controversial era about the Spirit. And so this has been, for me, a really redemptive time to just talk openly about what I see in Scripture, my own journey through paying attention to the Spirit, and I trust that you are on a journey as well. This Tuesday, I've invited, last week we did something on miraculous gifting, and I talked about the spectrum of the evangelical world, from Pentecostal, charismatic, third wave, open but cautious, cessationist. And this next Tuesday, I've invited a couple of my pastoral friends that are from the more Pentecostal or more charismatic or third wave to meet and to talk about the miraculous gifts and how those are operative in their traditions, and to just have an open conversation about that. Two of my friends, Danny Kurame from Bridge Church in Orange, and also Pete Shambrook from the new coffee house, from Cedar House. Thank you. I'm blanking on the name. But yeah, we're just going to have a nice long conversation about that. We'll record it. We'll put it up. It's part of our In the Weeds series. But I feel like we're in a great cultural moment where, you know, these are my friends. These are the people that when I went on sabbatical a couple years ago, I had pray for our family. Like, these are the people that, along with you guys, I want to be encouraged and I want to be loved and prayed for. I call these guys and you guys. Like, this is the kind of thing. And so I thought, just in a good open conversation that we could just have for our own congregation as we are on this journey with the Spirit. So I hope that will be helpful to you. All right, so today, if you have your Bibles, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 5. There's really going to be two passages that we look at today, because when we ask this question about what does a path forward with the Holy Spirit look like? Like, what should my ongoing posture, as I leave after a 10-week series on the Holy Spirit, we've hit the 30,000-foot level of what is the Spirit, Spirit, wind, breath, you know, this mysterious, unseen, powerful movement of God that we don't always understand, to getting down a little closer to talking about the being sealed by the Holy Spirit, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being gifted by the Holy Spirit, getting closer and closer. What does this look like on a day-to-day basis of being with the Spirit, of thinking about and paying attention to the Holy Spirit in our lives? What does it look like on a day-to-day basis? And so I wanted to give and offer really two metaphors from the Bible, two images from Scripture that are used about the Spirit that I think are great postures for us as we go forward, even on a journey about the Holy Spirit, these two postures. And that means two passages, but both of these are in what we read this morning. So in Ephesians 5:15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." And then in 5:18, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And it's these two metaphors, these two images, that I want to put before all of us, including myself, as we go forward after a series of teaching on the Holy Spirit, how is it that I can pay attention to the Spirit and these two ideas of walking in the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit? That is the image. Those are the images I want to put forth for an ongoing posture that I want to commend from the Bible to us as we go forward. Walking by the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit. Both of these are in our passage today. But to talk about walking, you guys with me on this? I mean, I feel like after 10 weeks, there's still this place where I want to kind of talk a little bit more about day-to-day life with the Spirit. Not just week to week as we come into worship together, or month-to-month special events. I want to talk about how can we go through our lives day-to-day, moment-by-moment, kind of section of our day by section of our day, paying attention and knowing that, don't you know that you yourselves are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells in you? I feel like that's a wonderful verse for us to just remember. Don't you know that God's Spirit is dwelling within you? And how do we go through our days paying attention to that very thing? And so walking and being filled are the two things. In order to talk about walking, I want to go back to a passage that we went to before, just a few verses or a few passages ahead in your Bible, and that is to Galatians chapter 5. If you want to turn there really quickly, I want to show you a couple things from Galatians chapter 5 as it actually back in your Bible. See, go, eat, popcorn. Go, Galatians, eat, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Anyway, that's how I go, eat, pop. Okay, you guys got it. I have all the tricks I need to memorize my books of the Bible. Even a rap, I did memorize the books of the Bible, New Testament, in a rap, but you don't want to hear that. No, you don't, Jim Farmer. Anyway, all right. So, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. So that's where I want to start with this. And this is where the Apostle Paul, from verse 16 to 25, will actually use four different words, four different terms, four different ideas about what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16, it says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." We did a sermon on this. "And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to." Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And then go to verse 25. It says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And so I really want to talk about these three things: walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. It also says living by the Spirit, but I want to talk about keeping in step by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and keeping in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When Paul talks about walking by the Spirit, this is essentially Paul's baseline for life. If you look in all of Paul's books, whenever he talks about living a life, doing certain things, taking a posture in your life, it is this idea of walking in a manner worthy. You'll hear this all sorts of ways from the Apostle Paul. It's his baseline ethical command to walk in the Spirit. This is his Jewish side coming out. This is what the rabbis would call in Hebrew, the word to walk is halak. And so the book of Proverbs, in many ways, is called halakhic wisdom. It's walking wisdom. The way you show yourself wise is the way you walk, right? There are things that come to my mind, like, you know, Saturday Night Fever, and you walk. Anyway, all right, guys. I did pray before this to be filled with the Spirit, and I don't know what is going to happen. I'm just kidding. Anyway. Walking is essentially the baseline. How you live your life is the way you walk. It's like Psalm 1, "Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers." It's how you walk in the world is your characteristic way of showing up in life. And Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And in some ways, so these three things, walk, be led, keep in step. I thought it might be helpful to just think about apps on your phone, these three things. I know, you're like, you don't usually do this, but hang with me, everybody. Walking by the Spirit is kind of like your calendar app on your phone, and this is what I mean. Walking is your intentionality of what you do when you create. It's an active, walking is an active sense. It's like setting habits. When you walk, it's about what are the sorts of things you do? Where are the sorts of places you go? How do you tend to think? That's walking. That's like your calendar app on your phone. What places are you supposed to show up to and when? That is how you walk. That's how you are active and intentional. It's about how your life of faith goes. It's what kind of habits have you built? What kind of things do you do to promote your life of faith? What sort of commitments have you made? What sort of appointments have you made with God that you show up at? Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe you show up, you read a passage, you pray. It's where you show up in your calendar. It might not show up in your actual calendar app. Sometimes some it might for you. It might be helpful to put these appointments on your app. But you have these various habits. In the morning, I wake up and I say this to God, or I do this, or I read this. At lunchtime, I do this. Before I go to bed, I do this. It's how you are walking. Walk in the Spirit. Your calendar app. Does your calendar reflect a life in and by the Spirit? When Paul says walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, he's talking about, and this is the question, like if you, and I, this is literally, does your calendar app on your phone, what you keep your calendar, does it show a life, does it reflect a life in and by the Spirit? Do your habits do that? And so when Paul says walk by the Spirit, he's talking about have you made some decisions? Have you set up some habits? Do you make appointments that you keep with the God of the universe? Walk by the Spirit. This is one aspect of walking. It's active. You guys, are you with me now? You're like, what's the next app? Hang with me, okay? You got a lot of apps. We have an app for that, okay? So the second is, if you look at 5:18, it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And this is this image. If walking is an active sense of you making decisions and making habits and doing things and setting your calendar, you're in charge of your calendar. I don't know if you knew this. You're in charge of your calendar. You're not in charge of your email. Your email is everybody else's to-do list for you. Okay? That's why I don't like to look at my email. But I like my calendar because I set up my calendar. Okay? Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit is not an active metaphor, but it is a passive metaphor. In other words, when it's not saying you lead the Spirit, it's you, the Spirit is leading you. Be led. It's what we call the passive voice. Be led by the Spirit. When Paul is arrested, he is led by his captors. When Jesus on the Mount of Olives is going to come down on for the triumphal entry, he says, go find a colt and the donkey with the colt, and then they get it and they lead it to Jesus. The donkey doesn't come, they lead it. It's being led by them. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and the sheep hear my voice. And what happens is they are led by the good shepherd. And I do love this idea about in John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, I know their name, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. They are led, and we've talked about this, that Palestinian shepherds in the first century, they didn't herd sheep. It was the butcher that herded sheep. It was the shepherd that just gave out the call, and the sheep would recognize the voice. And we've all had that experience because we have various ways that we can hear our spouses or people we love coming even though we don't see them. Like I've made this comment that Kelly walks in flip-flops in a certain way. I can hear her coming before I ever see her. Right? Like, do you know the sound of the Lord in that way? You have your loved ones, they have various ways that you can hear their voice across the room. You know where they are just by their sound. When they wake up in the morning, they're loud. Or when they wake up in the morning, they're quiet and they're trying to be quiet. You know, there are characteristic ways that the people that you're most intimate with, you recognize that. You recognize the way. And some of you guys right now, it's coming to mind. You might have certain calls, whistles, or things like that that you do to get the attention of your family, right? Various ways. You know what is coming. But the idea is, in this way, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," and Paul says, "Be led by the Spirit," he's talking about these various pullings and pushings by the Spirit, that the Spirit is guiding. We recognize that God leads by means of His Word, God's people, sometimes the circumstances in our lives, sometimes the still small voice within. God leads and guides in all of those ways. The weight and tone and content of God's guidance. Being led by the Spirit means listening to the Spirit. If there's an app, here's our app. This is your Maps app. And whenever I want to go somewhere, I put in an address. I don't know if you guys do this or not. I put in an address, and I hit, and there's this voice that comes on, and it says, "Go straight on Taft Avenue. In 300 feet, you will turn left on Glacel," right? Like, it'll tell you, it'll prompt you, and so what do? I do those things. Sometimes I don't do those things. Like, I feel like I'm smarter than the Maps app, and sometimes I am. But this is not to be compared to the Holy Spirit, right? The idea is that being led by the Spirit is like you listening and responding to the promptings. There are certain habits that you can put in place, but there's other times that the Spirit is going to step in and say, "Hey, rerouting. We're making a left up here." And you're like, "I don't know if we should make a left up here." And the Spirit's like, "We're making a left up here." Be led by the Spirit. You can set up habits, and there are ways that you can set your calendar app, but if you've put in a destination, we're going to trust that the Spirit is going to get us there and that the Spirit might reroute us in the moment, and we're going to listen. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. If you want to walk in the Spirit, then be led by the Spirit. The Spirit's going to step in front, and you are going to follow. Walk in the Spirit. And this is what I think, as we go through, we enter into this beginning of our journey, or the middle of our journey with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we want to set up great habits, but we also want to be responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot that we can say about that, but I just want to give us a kind of a vision for that. And then finally, if you go down to verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, the reason why it says if we live by the Spirit, it says crucify your flesh. So we're going to crucify the flesh, but we live by the Spirit. But if we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And this verb is super interesting. It means, it was used in military ideas that when you're called to fall in, you get in line. And what this verse says is, it says, get in line with the Spirit. In other words, if you're going to march in this military manner, you're going to march in a synchronized pattern, that if you're going to, you're going to know when to turn, when to go, you're going to be in step with the rest of the people who have lined up in a line. This has to do with pace and direction and effort. If there's an app, this is your workout app. I don't know, anybody, Strava, my Strava brothers and sisters out there, yes. It's just because we record our workouts and then we Strava brag to each other, right? You guys are like, "I don't have a workout app." Okay, hang with me, everybody. There's these apps. And you can like record, or you can even schedule things that you do. And the thing about this is that you have like workout programs that you're supposed to today run. You're like, "I don't want to run. Today's a running day. Today's a cycling day. I don't want to cycle. Today's a cycling day." This is what it is. Keep in step. When I ran With my friend Dan, we ran the OC Half Marathon last year. But as we did, we trained at a certain time, 10-minute miles. That was our goal. We knew we probably could not do actual 10-minute miles for a whole 13 miles. So we were like, we want to hit a 10:15 pace. And so throughout, we would always be like going, and sometimes I would get excited and I'd start running faster, and Dan's like, hey, we got to get on a 10:15 pace. And sometimes Dan would run faster, and I'd be like, Dan, we're gonna smoke out if we don't stay on pace. And we would help each other to keep in step with each other, on pace with each other, knowing that we wanted to cross the finish line together, keeping in step with the Spirit. One of my favorite stories about keeping in step with the Spirit is in Acts chapter 8. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I feel like I'm going to turn this off. It's just the pad is still going. All right. I'm good. The nice little low bass note going with me. All right. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. So an angel shows up to Philip in Acts chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. The angel tells him to go down to Gaza. We all know where Gaza is, but from Jerusalem to Gaza, you go through the desert. He says, go on the desert road. And as he's walking, so he does. Go walk down towards Gaza, no explanation. What does Philip do? Okay. He does. He goes. Then as he's walking, it says that the Spirit tells him, I don't know how this happens, but the Spirit tells him, go join up with that caravan that's going south. Go join up with that caravan. So what does Philip do? Does he walk? No, it says that he runs. He actually runs alongside. I'll let you do that. Okay. He actually runs alongside the caravan. He actually runs. The Spirit tells him to run, and he runs. This is literally keeping in step with the Spirit. So Philip runs. As he runs, he hears this high-ranking Ethiopian official, the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch is reading from the book of Isaiah. So you think, this guy was sitting on his couch in Jerusalem only a few hours earlier. An angel tells him, walk down to Gaza. He starts walking. He sees the caravan, and the Spirit says, you need to go run and catch up with them. He does. As he does, he hears this Ethiopian eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. So what does he do? Spirit doesn't have to tell him then. He just yells up, breaking all convention, sweaty Jewish man, high-ranking Jewish official in this really nice caravan, this really nice chariot, and he's like, what are you reading? He's like, I don't know. Nobody can tell me what it says. And Philip's like, do you want me to help? And he's like, yeah, come on up. So he comes up. He was sitting on his couch in Jerusalem a few hours earlier, and he just put in a good 5K to catch up. We can check Strava later. Anybody follow Philip? Keeping in step with the Spirit is about pace, and it's about responsiveness. It's also about effort. So sometimes our life of faith, we're going to look at this in the idea of like, what does it mean to like be filled with the Spirit? Sometimes it means that we're just doing the work of our day to day. But other times when we follow the Spirit, when we keep in step with the Spirit, it means an increased intensity of activity. There are these special moments that the Spirit's like, I brought you here for this reason. And maybe we start to feel our heart pound a little bit more than when we're sitting on our couch reading our Bible. Because the Spirit has called us for a particular moment. That is the idea of keeping in step with the Spirit. There's going to be various intensities that you might use and that are called for by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit, your calendar app, creating habits and practices, being led by the Spirit, being responsive to cues like the Maps app, set the destination and listen for the prompts, but keeping in step with the Spirit, paying attention to the direction and the pace of the Spirit. What is day-to-day faithfulness, and when is the empowerment for a special occasion like an exercise app? Train and compete in the arena. Keeping in step with the Spirit is really about competing in the arena. You can be on your couch and reading your Bible and doing things that are helping you to grow in your faith, but there's also a call of the Spirit where we are out and we are talking about the glory of Jesus and the supremacy of Jesus. We are going to keep in step, and the Spirit might put you in a situation where it's like, hey, I brought you to this cashier so that you can talk to them. I brought you to this Starbucks today because I want you to talk to this barista. I put you in with this coworker today because I want you to talk to them. I want you to listen to them. What do you want me to do? It's responsive. Different intensities for different parts of the day. Keep in step with the Spirit. So walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's all about walking. It's all about walking. And so this is one of the images, I think, for me that I want to adopt as I think about my life of faith, my interaction with the Spirit, my awareness of what the Spirit is doing. I want to think about walking. What am I doing? How am I responding? How am I listening? And then how am I responding in the moment? Walk, be led, and keep in step with the Spirit. That's Galatians 5. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to talk about this other image that is used by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 5 starts out by talking about walking in the Spirit, but it also has a command about the Spirit that I think is a helpful way to think about the Spirit and a posture before the Spirit, and that is in 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Now, I have to say this. There are a lot of ideas about what being filled with the Spirit or being filled by the Spirit means. And in a lot of ways, when we talk about the question about miraculous gifts, we really are talking a lot about this particular question about what does it look like or sound like to be filled with the Spirit. And the command, and I'll tell you a little bit of why there's some controversy, okay? You guys might be like, there's no controversy, I know exactly what that, and that's great, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about why there's some controversy about this, okay? One is that in 5:18, when Paul says to be filled with the Spirit, he couples it with a negative command, which is do not be drunk with wine, okay? And for a long time, this, and really even today, it puzzles interpreters about why he puts these two things together. And people have different ideas about why that is. So some have offered that perhaps being full of the Spirit can produce physical effects that may be mistaken for drunkenness. Like back in Acts chapter 2, they're speaking in other languages. And whatever, however they were presenting themselves, people were like, these people are full of sweet wine. You guys remember that in Acts chapter 2? So many people will look at that idea that their behavior of the Spirit coming upon them it was mistaken for drunkenness. I don't know. There's a little bit of me. You're like, how do you ever become a pastor? I'm like, I'm still thinking about this, to be quite honest, because I do know that if the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, but love and joy, people who are filled with love and joy can be a little bit bubbly for my taste, right? You're my best friend. Like, okay. So it might, and that, you know, you're my best friend can also sound like someone who's had too many drinks. There is a sense in which people who are the fruit of the Spirit, the enthusiasm of that can produce some effects in that way. But also the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So I don't want to go too far on this. I'm still in process about what I think about some of the physical effects that over the history of Christianity that some people have reported, things like fainting or shaking or yelling or jumping. You're like, well, we don't do that here. It's like, well, we're not the only church around, okay? And I'm not in a hurry to make it like, hey, you've got to jump. We're going to check everybody's vertical leap before you. We're going to get a beginning baseline, and then after the filling of the Spirit, then we're going to measure. And that's not what this is about, okay? But it does seem like in the New Testament that even outsiders, people who don't have faith, can recognize something is going on there that is recognizable. Now, I don't know exactly what it is, and like I said, I'm in process. I've got good friends in all of this, and I'm not in a hurry to do this, but I want to be open. I want to be open as much as I possibly can. I do think that there are some lines, but anyway, but I'm not the Holy Spirit either. Okay, there you go. You get a sense of my, like, what do I do with this? What do I say to these people, right? I'm trying to figure it out too. I want to be open. I want to be cautious, but I'm in this. You guys heard my story, like, open but cautious can sometimes be more cautious than open. So what does it look like to look for the Holy Spirit and be open to the Spirit? So all this to say, for me, the jury is still out a lot of that stuff. I'm probably still more cautious on physical manifestations. Like, I don't know. There you go. So that's my self-report to you guys, okay? All right. I think what's going on in this passage when he says be filled with the Spirit is he's going back to something in Ephesians chapter 3. Just turn a couple pages back. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, he starts this prayer that ends the first section of Ephesians. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." This is 3:15, now 3:16. "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Okay? So that's Paul's first prayer. Strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I'm getting to what I want to get to. Verse 17. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts." How does Christ dwell in our hearts? It's by means of the Spirit, through faith. Again, in the hearts. Man, okay. "That you being rooted and grounded in love," which is the fruit of the Spirit, "may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ," now listen to this, "that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I think that when Paul is saying be filled with the Spirit, he's talking about this idea, what he just prayed, that these people would be filled with all the fullness of God. Psalm 23, "My cup runs over." When God fills something up, it runs over, filled with fullness. That's filled. And I think the idea of this, idea of, yeah, even this, because I've wrestled with this idea, like, yes, I've been saved, I've been sealed, like, isn't that enough? And God's like, I want you to be filled with the fullness, filled up, filled, more filled. And I don't want to like make a distinction between our salvation is secure in Christ, what he's accomplished, but there is this sense of, as we're led by the Spirit, as we keep in step with the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, that there is this sense of being filled by the Spirit. And there's a few ways that this gets talked about. Some of being filled with the Spirit is simply being characterized by that. We see this with Stephen in the book of Acts, that when they overlook the Hellenistic widows, they're like, hey, pick some guys out from among you. And he goes, pick people who are full of the Spirit to do this thing, to make sure that the widows aren't overlooked. They're going to administrate the distribution of food, make sure they're men who are characterized by being full of the Spirit. And then Stephen was a man characterized by being full of the Spirit. Barnabas is also described this way. He's described as a character, as a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And in this case, being full of the Spirit is just the way your character shows up in the world. Being filled with the Spirit is a descriptor of someone who's characteristically empowered by God and having the character of Christ. Sometimes being filled with the Spirit implies empowerment for an ongoing ministry, like John the Baptist. The angel says John the Baptist is going to be filled with the Spirit from the womb because of his prophetic ministry. If you're going to be a prophet, John, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. And the prophets are filled with the Spirit. Saul, on the road to Damascus, confronted by the risen Jesus, struck blind. As he's praying and fasting, a man named Ananias comes and restores his sight and says this, "The Lord Jesus has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And it's probably in response to Ananias was told by God, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So laying on of hands of someone and commissioning them for a ministry is also a means of talking about being filled with the Spirit. So at times being filled with the Spirit is about your character. At times being filled with the Spirit is about what you are called to go do. And there are some times where being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Spirit for a special moment. The first time we see this in the Gospel of Luke, Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting. The baby, John the Baptist, leaps in her womb, and it says she's filled with the Spirit, and then she bursts out a blessing onto Mary. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill her promise, his promise to her. She's filled with the Spirit, and then she speaks spontaneously a word of blessing over Mary. Zechariah, after John the Baptist is born, is filled with the Spirit, and he prophesies, and he blesses God, and he says a blessing over his child. You are the child who will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord and prepare his ways. Can you imagine at the birth of your son that you stand over him, you say, you're going to be a prophet of the Most High. I bless you in the name of God. What a wonderful thing. He's filled with the Spirit, and he speaks out for a special occasion. On the day of Pentecost, 120 believers are in an upper room, and they're filled with the Spirit, and they speak in other languages. Their characters are wonderful. They're filled with the Spirit in their character. Some of them are apostles, and they're filled with the Spirit because they're apostles. But all of them are filled with the Spirit for a special occasion. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested. They're kept overnight in jail, and they're brought before the high priests and leaders, and then Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he lays it all out in front of them. The stone that the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. Filled with the Spirit for a special moment to say something that is going to bless people or confront or do whatever the Spirit needs to do in that moment, because being filled with the Spirit is about your character. It is about the sort of ministry that you are going to do, your vocation in life, but it's also about, in a special moment, keeping in step with the Spirit, speaking out the words that the Spirit is going to empower us to speak out or to do the things that the Spirit is going to empower us to do. If we keep looking at the passage in Ephesians 5:19, there's a few things. In this particular context, it says, be filled with the Spirit. I got to find my place in this. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, verse 19. And then there's four participles. These are dependent participles. You guys don't care. I mean, it's funny. You're like, why are we talking about grammar? Okay, but there's four things that are dependent on the command to be filled with the Spirit. The first is addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit will address one another, will speak to one another. They will speak to one another, like we see this with Mary, we see this with Elizabeth, we see this with Zechariah, we see this with Elymas, or with Ananias. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It also says people who are filled with the Holy Spirit are singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. What I think is so interesting, in my experience, in my lifetime, where I've seen places where the Spirit seems to be at work, one of the things that I tend to see, and this is anecdotal, you can make a case for it here, but I think one of the things that happens in environments where the Spirit is at work is you start to hear music coming out of that movement. Like, I remember when I became a Christian, I learned to play the guitar. Well, one of the things, like, I didn't sing before I became a Christian. I didn't sing. You know what? One of the first things I did when I became a Christian, I started singing. And I started to learn to play the guitar. And the way I learned to play the guitar was on the Maranatha songbook from Calvary Chapel. Like, I think the Spirit was at work. And then they produced this awesome songbook. And all these songs start coming out of the movement. And then when I was in college, I remember there was a lot of crazy stuff that was going on with the Vineyard, but I don't think it was undeniable that God was doing something in the Vineyard movement. And I just remember having the CD, the Touching the Father's Heart worship CD. I would play that sucker over and over and over. And even today, there are places where I think the Spirit is at work, and there's just an outpouring of awesome worship music that we participate in and sing every week. I think one of the things about being filled with the Spirit, I do think that song comes out of that. There's something about that. I'm not saying, like, if you don't sing, I'm not saying that you're a bad person or that the Spirit's not involved in your life. I'm not saying that. But I do think, like, give it a shot. It's good times. All right, I love it. I mean, look, so, and I'll wake up with a song in my heart. It probably bugs everybody in my family, but I'll just come down. I'm, like, doing my thing. But, yeah, whatever it is, singing, making melody. It says in your heart, so keep it to yourself. No, I'm just kidding. And then 520. What else? So be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another, address one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody, also giving thanks. People who are filled with the Spirit give thanks. People who are filled with the Spirit are grateful. They're grateful that God has worked in their life. We're going to practice this next week. I think it's super appropriate that as we finish up a series on the Holy Spirit that we would give gratitude, give thanks. Giving thanks always and for everything. That seems to cover it, right? Yeah, always and for everything to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. And then the last thing, being filled with the Spirit also means yielding to one another. Yielding, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It just means taking a posture of humility. A posture of humility in community. And I suppose just as we kind of wrap this up, however you may define being filled with the Spirit, whether it's characteristic or an office or for a moment, I think just for me, what was convicting to me this week was I don't know if people would describe me as being filled with the Spirit. Like, I think people would describe me in lots of ways. But I wonder if someone would use those particular words that Craig is a man full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying this to get someone to say, Pastor Craig, you're full. You know, I'm just trying to, like, in my own sense of, like, walking through this, my own conviction, and this is, like, the self-report, like, before I was doing this series on the Holy Spirit, I don't know when the last time was that I prayed to be full of the Holy Spirit, that I actually asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, like the title of Francis Chan's book on the Holy Spirit, Forgotten God. Like, I'm not saying that I was not living my life for Jesus or loving the Father or in faith or even expectant that God would move. I do think that that's part of me, but I do think this idea of actually asking that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit, I was kind of wrestling through this. Like, I have this kind of, like, hesitancy to be like, hey, I have everything I need from you, God. Do I really need to ask for more? And I confess that. This is my self-report time to everybody. You're like, these are the most uncomfortable times in church, Craig. When, you know, it's self-report time. But I do want to just say, like, I am going to publicly repent. What if I've done 10 weeks on the Holy Spirit, what have I learned about the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis? What I've learned is that I want to, on a daily basis, ask God, the Father, to fill me with His Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, it sounds like so, like again, you're like, how did you ever become a pastor? But this is, I think that there is this forgottenness about we have everything we need for life and God, and we do. And there, the work of Christ, the adoption as sons and daughters, it's wonderful. But there is this sense as I read the Bible that the Spirit is an active and important part of our everyday life of faith. And for some reason or another, I've had this little block about I feel weird asking God for it. I think it's because I don't like to be dependent on anyone. If people were to describe me, I would hope they would say he's skilled, he's competent, he's faithful, he's reliable. But full of the Spirit is another thing, isn't it? And I suppose for me, what I want to explore is just what would it look like if at the first of the year, every person in our congregation prayed every day the moment they woke up and asked God to fill them with his Holy Spirit. What might that look like? That's my conviction coming out of this series. We can talk about it through Advent. We'll have Thanksgiving service. We can talk about it through Advent. But that's what I want to do, everybody. It's what I want to do. And if nobody else wants to do it, I'm still going to do it. But that's what I want us to explore. What might that look like? I don't think it's super controversial. Luke 11 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus said that. Jesus. So, to me, I've just been super convicted. And so I'm standing up here, I'm self-reporting, and I am repenting. And I'm going to ask. It's just going to be one of the things. And I feel like, ideally, it's something good might happen, right? We have to imagine that God will move. I think some of our hesitation is we just don't know how he's going to do that. And there's hesitancy, right? But it's okay. Our Heavenly Father loves us. Our Heavenly Father loves us. He's not going to give a bad gift. Not going to give a bad gift. Yeah, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. You know, we've been talking about wading in. Like I've been talking about in the pool. Do we jump into the pool or do we wade into the pool? And I think that's an interesting thing about the Holy Spirit. And I do want to respect everybody. Like, we all have a different kind of pace as we are on this journey. But ultimately, God doesn't want us to get wet. God wants us on fire. And I have to think that as we lean on the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to be more and more part of our lives, that we would burn bright with a passion for Jesus, and we would burn bright to a dark world. And so for me, it's been a long time since I've talked about somebody, that guy's on fire for God. But I want to say that. And I want people to say that about me. But ultimately, what I want is that people would see Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father, we are... Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that you would send your Son, that you would pour out your love in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, and just grateful that you would reveal all of this about your Spirit. But we're just on a journey with the Holy Spirit, and so we ask, Father, that you would help us to ask, just to ask you to fill us with your Spirit. And I do that right now. I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray on behalf of our congregation that you would fill us with your Spirit, and that you would give us the courage to continue to ask and to pray that. We give it to you. We trust you. You're our Father. You love us. Oh, you love us. And so we want to yield. We want to walk in your Spirit. We want to be led by your Spirit. We want to keep in step with your Spirit. We want to be filled by your Spirit.